This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFK. If you're not already a member, consider joining with us and keep free speech alive.
The dancing feet.
Check out Breakbeats and Rhymes late Saturday nights from 2 to 4 a.m. here on KPFK, bringing the finest in hip-hop music back to the L.A. airwaves.
Neo Ensemble Theater presents Free at Inside the Ford, a whimsical comedy that explores the boundaries of friendship and gravity. Without the aid of mechanical devices, we can only slip the bonds of Earth in our dreams and imaginations. But no one seems to have told that to Marshall Free Gunther. Free is a floater who has to work at keeping himself tethered to the ground. He wants more than anything to be normal. But best friend Stoney thinks that Free's gift is a miracle that everyone should see. When Free decides he would rather clean motel rooms than defy gravity for indifferent audiences, he finds that the gift he doesn't want has touched more lives than he realized. Free runs January 22nd through February 27th at Inside the Ford in Hollywood. Ticket information is available at the Ford box office, 323-GO-1-FORD. More details at the KPFK website, kpfk.org.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Alive and Picking for this Saturday morning here on KPFK Los Angeles, listener-supported Pacifica Radio for all of Southern California. My name is Mary Catherine Alden and I thank you very much for joining me. I'm delighted to welcome back to the program, four very good friends of mine who are here to enlighten us and entertain us with some folk music today. Jim Moran of Chilly Winds, good morning and welcome back.
Good morning, Mary Catherine.
Art Podell of the New Christy Minstrels, and Art and Paul. Good morning.
Hi, Mary Catherine.
Good morning. George Grove, Kingston Trio.
Good morning.
And my pal Joe Frazier of the Chad Mitchell Trio.
Good morning, Mary Catherine.
And they're all awake and have brought us some wonderful music. I think, Jim, you're going to be starting the show this morning, so what have you got lined up for us?
I am. Well, we were sitting around and thinking about what we wanted to do with the show. Last time we were here in November, we did 1963 in folk music, taking a look back at what these gentlemen were doing and what George and I were listening to and so on. What occurred to us while sitting around in Joe's living room some weeks after that was that one of the things that all of us including the legendary performers here, all had heroes of our own in folk music as well as in politics and everything else. And I've personally been saddened, and I put this on my blog, Comparative Video 101, that some of the people that we admired and loved when we were growing up aren't widely known or as widely known today as they deserve to be. And it occurred to me that as someone who lionized Joe Frazier and George Grove and Art Podell growing up, and it's an underhanded way of saying you're all older than I am, even my heroes had heroes. And so what we're dedicating today's show to is forgotten heroes, or at least people who are not remembered nearly as well as they ought to be for their wonderful music that they made and for their contributions to folk music overall. And I get to start, and it's kind of a serendipitous experience last night. The four of us went out to see Tom Paxton playing at McCabe's, and I found myself sitting next to a tall, distinguished-looking, white-haired gentleman who, it turned out, as Tom introduced him from the stage, was Jacques Holtzman, the president of Elektra Records. And the harmonic convergence of that was the hero that I wanted to present on the show today is Bob Gibson, who was one of the first great popular folk singers, a commercial folk singer, if you wanted to use that term, but a man of incredible skills and really incredible influence as well that's still felt in acoustic music across the country today in a variety of ways. My introduction to Bob Gibson came when I was 10 or 11 years old and my parents brought back home. They always bought their many children, there were 10 of us, but they bought us things that reflected our interests. And I had gone crazy over the folk music that I was hearing on TV in Chicago, Win Strachey and people like that, and Kingston Trio, Harry Belafonte. They brought back home two albums from a tiny label called Vanguard at the time, called the Newport Folk Festival, 1960, Volumes 1 and 2. Two of the greatest records ever released. John Lee Hooker, Mississippi John Hurt, Flat and Scruggs, the New Lost City Ramblers. But what Ewan McCall and Peggy Seeger, what transfixed me were the first four cuts on the first album by a singer whose name I'd known but I'd never actually heard him, was Bob Gibson, and later Bob Gibson and Bob Camp. So I quickly began collecting Bob Gibson albums and getting them for birthdays and just randomly. Gibson was born in 1931, a little bit before many of the other popular folk singers, in New York. Left high school a bit early, traveled around, did some jobs, and then in the early 50s heard Pete Seeger playing in New York, went out and bought himself a banjo, and then quickly left everybody else in the field behind. He traveled down to the Bahamas for a while, where he heard some stevedores on the dock singing a song that he brought back to Washington Square in Greenwich Village, and was playing, and a couple of young men, Alan Arkin and Eric Darling, heard him playing it. They recorded it. Harry Belafonte heard their recording. It was Day-O, or the Banana Boat Song. And thus it was with many, many songs that Gibson first discovered or rediscovered. He became a virtuoso banjo player. He taught himself 12-string guitar. He discovered a very significant number of younger performers, the most famous of which is Joan Baez, whom he heard in a coffee house in Cambridge, Massachusetts, brought her out to Chicago to play at the club he headlined at the Gate of Horn, he was co-owner of, and in a very dramatic moment, called her up on stage at the premier Newport Folk Festival in 1959 to sing two songs with him. That launched her career. Mr. Holtzman, I had a chance to chat with last night, the president of Elektra Records, and the first words out of his mouth when I mentioned Gibson was what a generous man he was. And he related how Gibson came into his office one morning and said, you know, there's a 19-year-old girl out in Denver that you just have to hear. And it turned out to be Judy Collins, and that was the beginning of her career. An 18-year-old high school senior in Illinois, named at that time Jim McGuinn, was at a high school assembly and saw Gibson performing solo on the banjo and decided he wanted to be a folk singer. And later on became Roger McGuinn, and his first professional gig, Joe Frazier, was?
With the Chad Mitchell Trio. He came and joined the Chad Mitchell Trio exactly the same time I did. He was right out of high school and playing the banjo magnificently.
And later on with the Limelighters, Bob Lind, Bobby Darin, a number of people like that, all because of Bob Gibson. So there's so much more to learn about Bob Gibson if you don't remember him, and I would like to, before we start the music, tell you where you can find that. Bob Gibson's two daughters, Meridian Green, okay, prominent folk performer herself, okay, and Patty Hauser, with a wonderful staff have put together a site that is one word, www.bobgibsonlegacy.com. One of the best folk sites on the web, under the direction of webmaster Valerie McGee, and a really talented staff, and there'll be a bio of Bob there. There are CDs you can buy, a copy of the biography he wrote with Carol Bender in the last year of his life. He died in 96, called I Come For to Sing. All kinds of treasures there. www.bobgibsonlegacy.com for much more on Gibson. As far as his music goes, I've got two little mini sets of Bob's numbers. The first one is going to demonstrate what popularized commercial music was. This is Bob taking three traditional songs at different points in his career and reinterpreting them. The first will be Poor Wayfaring Stranger, a song that most people at the time associated with Burl Ives, but that Bob did in a very unique way. Okay, on the banjo, he had his own banjo technique. You'll hear a kind of syncopated, a kind of punctuated combination of picking and strumming on the banjo. That cut is from his legendary Gate of Horn album with Bob Camp, Hamilton Bob Camp. The second number we have is going to be Bob singing the title song from my personal favorite album of his called Where I'm Bound. It's Bob's reworking of an old African-American spiritual that never got sung quite this way in its original format. It's Bob playing the 12-string guitar, just playing it wonderfully, and syncopating it, changing the key, putting in a coda and a bridge. It's just a great, great arrangement. And finally, Bob collaborating his last traditional song, an old Appalachian moonshiner song called Copper Kettle, which Bob is, again, singing in his unique, slightly swinging way, great bass part from Herb Brown on all three of these cuts, I believe, and a wonderful guitar lead backup by Bob's good friend, Dick Rosmini. So here we go. Bob Gibson, Wayfaring Stranger, Where I'm Bound, and Copper Kettle.
I'm traveling through this world of woe, and there's no sickness, no toil or danger in that bright land to which I go. I'm going there to see my father. I'm going there to my new home. One of these mornings, and it won't be long, all men will rise, stand side by side, then hand in hand, they're bound for glory. Their foes will fall before freedom's time. I'm going there to see my brothers. I'm going there no more to roam. I'm going there just over Jordan. I'm going there to my new home. I'm going there to see my mother. I'm going there no more to roam. I'm going there just over Jordan. I'm going there to my new home. I am a poor wayfaring stranger.
Come go with me to that land. Come go with me to that land. Where I'm bound, go with me to that land. Come go with me to that land. Come go with me to that land where I'm bound. There's gonna be singing in that land. There's gonna be singing in that land. There's gonna be singing in that land. Where I'm bound, there'll be singing in that land. Gonna be singing in that land. Gonna be singing in that land where I'm bound. There'll be rejoicing in that land. There'll be rejoicing in that land. Be rejoicing in that land. Where I'm bound, be rejoicing in that land. Rejoicing in that land. There'll be rejoicing in that land where I'm bound. Come, go with me to that land. Join that hallelujah band. Leave your cares and woes behind. Enjoy a little peace of mind. There ain't no kneeling, crying there. And all the saints on higher there. Join that heavenly choir there and sing hallelujah. Come and go with me to that land. Come and go with me to that land. Come and go with me to that land. Where I'm bound, go with me to that land. With me to that land. Come and go with me to that land where I'm bound. There's gonna be singing in that land where I'm bound. Gonna be singing in that land where I'm bound. There'll be singing in that land. Singing in that land. Gonna be singing in that land where I'm bound. There'll be rejoicing in that land where I'm bound. Be rejoicing in that land where I'm bound. Be rejoicing in that land. Rejoicing in that land. Be rejoicing in that land where I'm bound. A copper kettle, get you a copper coil, cover with new made corn mash, and never more you'll toil. You'll just lay there by the juniper while the moon is bright, and watch those jugs a fillin' in the pale moonlight. Build your fire of hickory, hickory and ash and oak. Don't use no green or rotten wood, they'll get you by the smoke. You just lay there by the juniper while the moon is bright, and watch those jugs a-fillin'
in the pale moonlight. My old daddy made whiskey, my granddaddy did too. We ain't paid no whiskey tax since 1792. We just lay there by the juniper while the moon is bright, and watch those jugs a-fillin' in the pale moonlight. Get you a copper kettle, get you a copper coil, cover with new-made corn mash, and never more you'll toil. You'll just lay there by the juniper while the moon is bright, and watch those jugs a-fillin' in the pale moonlight. In the pale moonlight.
Jim Moran here from the blog Comparative Video 101. That's comparativevideo101.blogspot.com with my good friends and partners, Joe Frazier of the Chad Mitchell Trio, Art Podell of Art and Paul and the New Christy Minstrels, and George Grove of the Kingston Trio. We just heard three cuts from Bob Gibson, who's my legend and hero, who hasn't gotten quite the due, I think, that he deserves. We listened to traditional songs and Bob's unique way of dealing with those. What we're now going to listen to is three particular songs that Bob wrote, or two songs, actually, in three different versions, that Bob actually wrote. He was a tremendous songwriter, and for a self-taught musician, largely, did a wonderful sense of composition, wonderful sense of rhythm, we'll hear again, and a really kind of vision of life that was both haunting and joyous. So we're going to hear, first of all, one of his haunting songs, one of his absolute best, one that I kept requesting when I saw him in the mid-70s in a small venue in suburban Chicago. And he kept looking at me and said, I'm going to close with this number. It's called Foghorn. It's also from the Where I'm Bound album. And then we're going to hear one of Bob's two best-known compositions, arguably, which are Well, 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 and this one, You Can Tell the World, another reworking of an African-American spiritual. First, we're going to hear Bob do it from his 1961 Yes, I See album, which is notable because part of his backup there is a group called the Gospel Pearls, an all-woman African-American choir. And for those who aren't old enough to remember, you didn't do it back then. You did not mix black musicians backing up a white singer. It was very, very rare. It was a fairly daring thing for Bob to do, and it works wonderfully. Then we're going to hear a bit of Bob's influence because we're going to hear Joe Frazier's group, the Chad Mitchell Trio, cover that song with an electrifying and different arrangement. So, Bob Gibson with Foghorn, and You Can Tell the World, and the Chad Mitchell Trio with You Can Tell the World.
Hear that foghorn, hear it moan, sad song for a lonely few. I'm walking, I'm lonely, and I'm blue. Yes, I'm blue. See that rain veil softly falling, gray moon on a black sky. And I'm walking, I'm lonely, and I cry. Yes, I cry. When it's midnight time by the waterfront, and the night's calling out to its own, and the fog rolls rise in from a troubled sea. And I walk down by the docks all alone. In that rain veil, softly falling, gray moon on a black sky. And I'm walking, and I'm lonely, and I cry. Yes, I cry. Hear that foghorn, hear it moaning, sad song for a lonely few. And I'm walking, and I'm calling, where are you? Where
so well.
Yes, it is.
Talked about a fire that flames in hell.
Yes, it is.
I don't know, but I've been told.
Yes, it is.
Streets in heaven are paved with gold.
Yes, it is.
One of these mornings won't be long.
Yes, it is.
You're gonna call my name and I'll be gone.
Yes, it is.
You brought joy, joy, joy into my heart.
Joy, joy, joy.
Yes, you. Tell the world about this. You can tell the nations about that. Tell them what the Master has done. Tell them that the gospel has come. Tell them that the victory's been won. He brought joy, joy, joy into my heart. My Lord spoke to you and me. Talked about a man from Galilee. My Lord spoke, he spoke so well. Talked about a fire that flames in hell. I don't know, but I've been told.
Yes, it is.
Streets in heaven are paved with gold.
Yes, it is.
One of these mornings won't be long.
Yes, it is.
You're gonna call my name and I'll be gone.
Yes, it is.
He brought joy, joy, joy into my heart.
Joy, joy, joy.
Yes, you can tell the world about this. You can tell the nations about that. Tell them what the Master has done. Tell them that the gospel has come. Tell them that the victory's been won. Tell them what the Master has done. Tell them that the gospel has come. Tell them that the victory's been won. He brought joy, joy, joy into my heart. He brought joy, joy, joy into my
joy, joy, joy into my heart. tell the world about this. You can tell the nations about that. Tell them what the Master has done. Tell them that the gospel has come. Tell them that the victory's been won. He brought joy, joy, joy into my heart. Can tell the world about this. You can tell the nations about that. Tell them what the Master has done. Tell them as the gospel has gone. Tell them as the victory's been won. He brought joy, joy, joy into my heart. My Lord spoke, he spoke to me. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Talked about a man from Galilee. Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
I heard him well and I was told.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
The strings of heaven are paved with gold.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Sometimes I hang my head and cry. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I know he'll save me when I die. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He brought joy, joy, joy into my heart. You can tell the world about this. You can tell the nations about that. Tell them what the Master has done. Tell them that the gospel has come. Tell them that the victory's been won. He brought joy, joy, joy into my heart.
Jim Moran here from the blog Comparative Video 101. We just heard the Chad Mitchell Trio, including my co-host Joe Frazier, with their interpretation of Bob Gibson's wonderful anthem, You Can Tell the World. And before that, Gibson himself doing that in one of his greatest songwriting compositions, Foghorn. I'm about to hand off the baton here to my good friend Art Podell. Just like to remind you, Bob Gibson was one of the great seminal influences in the whole, not only in popular folk music, but in acoustic music in general. If you want to hear the source of the 12-string guitar playing of people like Gordon Lightfoot, Leo Kottke, and John Denver, they all acknowledged a tremendous debt to Bob Gibson. You can learn a lot more about Bob Gibson on his website, the official Bob Gibson website, which once again is bobgibsonlegacy.com. And I hope you'll take a visit there and learn more about this wonderful and far too neglected artist. All right, we're ready to hand it off. Okay, we're going to open here. Art's going to open his section with a very familiar sounding song.
This land is
your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream water. This land was made for you and me. As I went walking that ribbon of highway.
Hi there, Art Podell here, a former member of the New Christy Minstrels, whom you just heard. And no, we're not going to be talking about the New Christy Minstrels today. My apologies to any minstrel fans are out there, perhaps at a later date. We're going to be talking about the Almanac Singers. And the reason I played this particular cut from the New Christy Minstrels is because it was written by Woody Guthrie. And Woody Guthrie was one of the charter members of the Almanac Singers who sang in the 40s. And they were perhaps the first rough-hewn folk chorus to come along in the 20th century. Earlier in the century, there were singers. There were Edmund P. Christie's minstrels who had a family tradition. They were on Broadway, and they wore suits, and they did shows. But to give you an idea, here's they were a gaggle of rough-and-tumble individual personalities lined up across the stage. They could be seen as a bit of a metaphor for the everyday workforce. They sang of frustration. They sang of joy. They sang in harmony. That's a quote from Tom Pickles, folk music historian, who helped assemble some of the data for this little segment. The Almanac Singers were created in early 1940 and 41 by the charter members, who were Pete Seeger, Lee Hayes, Millard Lample, a bit later Woody Guthrie. Over the next couple of months and years, they had a revolving cast of folk and blues singers, Sis Cunningham, who later founded Broadside Magazine, Bess Lomax-Hawes, daughter of John Lomax and sister of Alan Lomax, Cisco Houston, Josh White, Burl Ives, Sam Gary, Sonny Terry, Brownie McGee. Their origins were political, and they didn't get together for music or to further their musical careers. Each was an individual. Each had their own identity. And they assembled for political purposes. Their earliest efforts supported union workers, protesting Jim Crow, racial and ethnic discrimination, and challenging big business, notably DuPont, for profiteering from the European war effort. Remember, this was the dawn of the war. The last stance cost them dearly, and after Pearl Harbor, when popular support for the war took off, for some of them, notably Pete Seeger, were skeptical of the underlying profit motive in the war, but they changed their thinking as reports of German atrocities began to emerge. I'd like to start with three cuts from the Almanac Singers. The first one is Which Side Are You On?, which is obviously a union song. After that, when popular support for the war took off, they realized that they were on the wrong side of public sentiment. Pete offered something, and this is not from the Almanac Singers. This is a single recording of Pete Seeger called Dear Mr. President. You might find it in somewhat of a contrast to the perception that this music was all anti-war. And then after that, when they realized that the war required their a little more support, here's a song by Woody Guthrie called The Sinking of the Reuben James, which was a little more patriotic. But the stain that had accumulated around them before the war effort became popular in this country remained, and it haunted them, and they eventually disbanded. So here you have Which Side Are You On? By the Almanac Singers, Dear Mr. President, Pete Seeger, and Reuben James by the Almanac Singers.
Come all of you good workers, good news to you I'll tell, of how the good old Union has come in here to dwell.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
My daddy was a miner, and I'm a miner's son, and I'll stick with the Union till every battle's won.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
They say in Harlan County there are no neutrals there. You'll either be a union man or a thug for J.H. Blair.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Oh, workers, can you stand it? Oh, tell me how you can. Will you be a lousy scab or will you be a man?
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Don't scab for the bosses. Don't listen to their lies. Us poor folks haven't got a chance unless we organize.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Dear Mr. President, I set me down to send you greetings from my hometown and send you best wishes from all the friends I know in Texas, Alabama, and Ohio, and unaffiliated. I'm an ordinary guy, work most of my life. Sometime I'll settle down with my kids and wife, and I like to see a movie or take a little drink, and I like being free to say what I think. Sort of runs in the family. My grandpa crossed the ocean for the same reason. Now, I hate Hitler, and I can tell you why. He's caused lots of good folks to suffer and die. He's got a way of shoving folks around. I figure it's about time we slapped him down. Give him a dose of his own medicine. Lead poison. Now, Mr. President, we haven't always agreed in the past, I know, but that ain't at all important now. What is important is what we got to do. We got to lick Mr. Hitler, and until we do, other things can wait. In other words, first we got a skunk to skin. War means overtime and higher prices, but we're all willing to make sacrifices. Hell, I'd even stop fighting with my mother-in-law, because we need her, too, to win the war. Old battle axe. Now, as I think of our great land with its cities and towns and farming land, with so many good people are working every day, I know it ain't perfect, but it will be someday. Just give us a little time. This is the reason that I want to fight, not because everything's perfect or everything's right. No, it's just the opposite. I'm fighting because I want a better America and better laws and better homes and jobs and schools and no more Jim Crow and no more rules like you can't ride on this train because you're a Negro. You can't live here because you're a Jew. You can't work here because you're a union man. There's a line keeps running through my head. I think it was something Joe Lewis once said. Said there's lots of things wrong, but Hitler won't help him. Now, Mr. President, you're commander-in-chief of our armed forces, the ships and the planes and the tanks and the horses. I guess you know best just where I can fight. All I want to be is situated right to do the most damage. I never was one to try and shirk and let the other fellow do all of the work. So when the time comes, I'll be on hand, and I can make good use of these two hands. Quit playing this banjo around with the boys and exchange it for something that makes more noise. So, Mr. President, we got this one big job to do. That's lick Mr. Hitler, and when we're through, let no one else ever take his place to trample down the human race. So what I want is you to give me a gun so we can hurry up and get the job done.
Have you heard of a ship called the Good Reuben James? And by hard-fighting men, both of honor and fame. She flew the stars and stripes of the land of the free, but tonight she's in her grave at the bottom of the sea.
Tell me, what were their names? Tell me, what were their names? Did you have a friend on the Good Reuben James? What were their names? Tell me, what were their names? Did you have a friend on the Good Reuben James?
100 men were drowned in that dark, watery grave. When that good ship went down, only 44 were saved. 'Twas the last day of October, we saved the 44 from the cold, icy waters off that cold Iceland shore.
Tell me, what were their names? Tell me, what were their names? Did you have a friend on the Good Reuben James? What were their names? Tell me, what were their names? Did you have a friend on the Good Reuben James?
It was there in the dark of that uncertain night that we watched for the U-boats and waited for a fight. Then a whine and a rock and a great explosion roared, and they laid the Reuben James on that cold ocean floor.
Tell me, what were their names? Tell me, what were their names? Did you have a friend on the Good Reuben James? What were their names? Tell me, what were their names? If you have a friend on the Good Reuben James.
Now tonight there are lights in our country so bright. In the farms and in the cities they're telling of the fight. And now our mighty battleships will steam the bounding main and remember the name of that good Reuben James.
Tell me, what were their names? Tell me, what were their names? Did you have a friend on the Reuben James?
That was, this is Art Podell again. For those of you who were on my website at artpodell.com, I mentioned that I was going to talk about Art and Paul today. And for those of you who got up to hear about Art and Paul, I apologize. We're going to delay that for another show when we're probably going to feature some folk duos and have a good time with it. For those of you who did get up early, I apologize. Send me the bill for your Starbucks. I'll be happy to accommodate, and I'm hoping that you're enjoying what we're doing right now. Anyway, to continue on, the stain of their anti-war stance and their union support followed them, and eventually, a few years after the war, they broke up. But Pete and Lee Hayes formed a new group with Ronnie Gilbert and Fred Hellerman called the Weavers, which most of us have heard about. And the Weavers, I think, were a continuing chain in that line of a group of individuals who got together, each with their own individual talents, and formed a group. Even though when the Weavers got together, they were backed by Gordon Jenkins, and they tried to get a commercial sound. The vocal blend was very much folk, and it was a rustic back porch sound. Good Night Irene on top of Old Smokey were wildly popular. Nonetheless, all of the political watchdogs, well aware of Pete and Lee's leanings, kept a close eye on them, and they were blacklisted in the McCarthy era, and they never quite rose to national prominence, even though they had several hit records. They were influential. This, again, from our friend the historian, groups like the New Christy Minstrels, the Serendipity Singers, the Greenwood County Singers, Les Baxter's Balladeers, effectively leveraged the charms and power of a rustic folk chorus, and they created some wonderful sounds, undeniably influenced by the Almanac Singers and the Weavers. Most of these groups were made up of very talented people. But their managers and their leadership was pretty much more interested in performing careers than in politics. So they obviously focused on that, and you can't say that you can blame them for that. I was part of that, and I saw the groundswell. The next few cuts you're going to hear are going to be the Weavers, who maintained their political stance, singing Roll On, Columbia, Roll On. After that, I'm going to play something that the New Christy Minstrels recorded when I was a member. It's a song of Phil Oakes called There But for Fortune. And I think it kind of continues the spirit that the Almanac Singers started. And I thought I'd just throw that in. And then, of course, we'll close the segment with All I Want from the Almanac Singers.
Our country took the challenge in the year of 33 for the farmer and the factory, for all of you and me, saying, roll along, Columbia, you can ramble to the sea, but river, while you're rambling, you can do a little work for me.
Roll on, Columbia, roll on, roll on.
Now there are ships in the locks, the
waters have risen and cleared all the rocks. Shiploads of plenty now steam past the docks. So roll on, Columbia, roll on.
Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Your power is turning our darkness to dawn. So roll on, Columbia, roll on.
And on up the river is the Grand Coulee Dam, the mightiest thing ever built by man.
Our children starve and freeze.
I don't want your millions, mister. I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the right to live, mister. Give me back my job again.
Think me dumb if you wish, mister. Call me green or blue or red. This one thing I sure know, mister. My hungry babies must be fed. Take the two old parties, mister. No difference in them I can see. But with a farmer labor party, we could set the people free. So
I don't want your millions, mister. I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the right to live, mister. Give me back my job again.
Hi, this is Art Podell again. You were just listening to the Almanac Singers, a group of folks who I owe a great deal of gratitude to for having laid the groundwork for a musical revolution that I think galvanized the entire world. And for any of you out there who are Almanac fans or fans of this kind of music, my personal thanks, because I wouldn't be where I am right now. And I wouldn't have sung that music. Oddly, just one quick little quirk. I remember when I started out singing with the former group I was with, the New Christy Minstrels. I was pulled aside at one point because they knew I came from Greenwich Village, and was told very quietly in the dressing room not to mention Pete Seeger's name on stage.
Oh, yes.
Okay. I guess times were changing back then, and those that changed with the times... change with the times. That's it for me. Thanks a lot. This is Art Podell signing off, and I hope I didn't get anybody in trouble here.
Not yet. You're listening to Alive and Picking, and you're listening to it on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 93.7 FM San Diego, and 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake, and everywhere else on the world at kpfk.org. We'll be right back with more music after this.
Hi, this is Ed Begley Jr. here to let you know that KPFK is walking the progressive talk, embarking on the energy project which stands to be the first for a radio station in Southern California. KPFK is going solar. When we raise the funds now, KPFK takes advantage of incentives which won't be available forever. Details about this solar campaign are available at kpfk.org, solarize KPFK, and you can donate right there and then. Thank you.
Donating your car or boat is an excellent way to help KPFK stay alive and on the air. All you have to do is call 877-KPFK-AUTO. That's 877-KPFK-AUTO. And we'll take care of everything.
Hi, this is Jamie Cromwell. You are listening to 90.7 FM KPFK Los Angeles and 98.7 FM Santa Barbara.
And in lieu of the regular calendar this morning, because I have so many wonderful guests who've brought so much music and we want to really focus on that, I will just do a few very brief calendar announcements. All of the rest of it is on the website at www.aliveandpicking.com. Wanted to mention that tonight, the Tom Paxton Show at McCabe's is sold out, so if you don't have tickets, don't go. But tomorrow night, Sunday, January 23rd, Tom Paxton will be appearing at the AMSD Concert Series, 4650 Mansfield Street in San Diego at 7:30. Their number is 619-303-8176. Wanted to mention a late addition to the calendar this coming Thursday, January 27th, Loafer's Glory. Herb Peterson, Tom Sauber, Patrick Sauber, and Bill Bryson will be appearing at Kulak's Woodshed, 5230 Laurel Canyon Boulevard in Studio City at 8 o'clock p.m., 818-766-9913. This coming Saturday's show at Boulevard Music with Pete Hudlinger has been canceled. Hopefully will be rescheduled in the future. This coming Saturday, January 29, the Caltech Folk Music Society presents Katie Moffett at Beckman Institute Auditorium at Caltech in Pasadena at 8 p.m., 626-395-4652. And all of the rest of the calendar is on the website. As I say, we have special guests today, and I want to spend more time with music than with talk. So look at the calendar for more, and next Saturday I promise to do a regular full calendar. Next up in our gallery or galaxy of stars is my good friend Joe Frazier.
Joe Frazier, Chad Mitchell Trio. Very interesting art.
A former member?
No, I'm not a former member. We're still performing. I think we're the only actual original group from the 60s who's still ambulatory and singing concerts.
Above ground, too.
How can I become a former member?
Well, you already are. I'll become an honorary one. But you've been talking about people getting into trouble because of Pete Seeger and the Almanac Singers. When I was 17 or 18 years old, I got into a great deal of trouble having listened to and using the politics of the Almanac Singers. I was in the Air Force. Couldn't afford to go to college. So I went to the Air Force and I got an audition for the Singing Sergeants, the Air Force Chorus in Washington, D.C., very prestigious. And I thought, wonderful. So I took this audition and I got in it just because I could sing and I was a trained singer. And I waited and waited and waited to be transferred to Washington, D.C. And for some reason, it didn't come through. I then found out I was under investigation. Was under investigation for being a security risk in the Air Force. This is during the witch hunt days of McCarthy. I had gone to New York City, and I was reading a bunch of rather left-wing periodicals, and I read about a record put out by the Almanac Singers called Talking Union, Pete Seeger and the Talking Union. And I went to a record store, and I went in there, and I told the guy, I want to get this record called The Almanac Singers Sings Talking Union Songs. And the guy looked at me very carefully and then reached down under a counter instead of from the top and pulled out this album and gave it to me, took my money, and then I left. It was very sub rosa, you know, buying this under the counter. So I started listening to this record. I thought, hey, I really agree with a lot of what these people are singing about. So I took it back with me, and I found out that I was eventually, in about several weeks later, I was thrown in the stockade in the Air Force. I spent 3 months in a solitary cell in the Air Force. I was beaten up once. My nose was broken. And all because I was reading the wrong books and listening to this record. The Almanac Singers, Pete Seeger. So anyway, they did get me. I got an honorable discharge, but they didn't want me in the Air Force anymore. So I went to New York and went to college, went to New York City. And I got involved with people who were going to these things called hootenannies and were singing the kind of things that I was.
Did you tell them that you were a former singing sergeant?
No, I did not, because I never
made
the singing sergeants.
You never got on stage and sang with the other sergeants?
No, I didn't. I certainly did not. And then I heard about a group that needed a singer, a group
and
called
they
the
gave you corporal punishment on top of it.
I dare say, I was a private. But anyway, I heard of a group called the Chad Mitchell Trio who needed a new member. One of their members was going back to college, didn't want to be a professional. So I went and I sang for Milt Okun, who was the Chad Mitchell Trio's director. Also later Peter Paul and Mary's, John Denver, all of that. And I sang for them. They said, do you know any folk songs? So I sang, yes, I sang two songs by the Weavers. I sang, Your Banks Are Made of Marble with a Guard at Every Door. I sang that one. And then the other one I sang was a song that later became very popular by Peter, Paul, and Mary. And that's...
If I Had a Hammer?
If I Had a Hammer, you got it. And I got the job. I got the job, and I took off. And the Chad Mitchell Trio had been singing with a group of people, all of whom were associated with Harry Belafonte. And they had sung at Carnegie Hall, and Harry Belafonte returns to Carnegie Hall. And I had to audition for Harry Belafonte in his office, actually, and sing for him to convince him that we were still worthy to be recorded. He was going to record our first albums. And he came up with a friend called Sidney Poitier in the office, and I had to sing for him there. And I became part of Harry Belafonte's little group of people that he had in his he put on records and also performed with him. They included Odetta, the Belafonte singers, Miriam McCabe, whole bunch of people that were working with Harry. Chad Mitchell-Trio had sung with Miriam McCabe on one of her records and performed at Carnegie Hall with her. But that's the first time I met Odetta. And I went to see Odetta at the Chicago Opera House, and I was so struck by her presence. She was not only a folk singer, but she was an artist. I mean, she had taken folk singing to a different level entirely. Absolutely wonderful. So I've chosen some songs today by Odetta, two of them. The first one you're going to hear is Ain't No More Canaan, It's Brazos, a slave song, labor song, work song, that later the Chad Mitchell Trio recorded as well, and also sang at President Johnson's election rally in Texas many years later. It did not go over very well that night. We couldn't quite understand why we were singing slave songs about Ain't No More Canaan, It's Brazos, and the audience was not particularly receptive. But I'm going to play the first two songs here are by Odetta and the Chad Mitchell Trio, and it's two different versions of that song, Ain't No More Canaan, It's Brazos, okay?
Ain't no more Canaan on the Brazos. They didn't cry it all in molasses. Oh, go down, oh, Hannah, don't you rise no more. Sins like 99 years. Ooh. Oh, the dog on the Brazos wouldn't keep me. Oh, should have been here. They was driving us women just like the men. Oh, and a McCain on the Brazos. Then crying on it. Oh,
trousers could keep me on the line. Oh,
well, Alberta, why don't you let your hair hang down? Oh, you let it hang right down till it touches the ground.
Frazier, Chad Mitchell Trio here. That was Odetta and the Chad Mitchell Trio doing two different versions of Ain't No More Cane on This Brazos. And Odetta was one of the performers on the Belafonte Returns to Carnegie Hall album that some of you might have heard and listened to. And a lot of those people were people who were also involved, as Pete Seeger was and the Weavers, in the political movements back in the 40s and the 50s. Incidentally, I ended up not only meeting my idol, Pete Seeger, and becoming his friend, but I ended up actually taking his daughter, Mika, to her first arrest in Washington, D.C., at the demonstrations against the Pentagon. He trusted me and let me take her down there.
Would you take me to my first
arrest? Well, I'd be glad, Joe. I do intend to have a few more in my life, if they're necessary. if they're necessary. So I'm going to play two more songs with Odetta, one of which is sung by my friend and colleague Chad Mitchell. The first, the song is called Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out.
Jim Moran here from Comparative Video 101. There's an interesting provenance on the song that kind of runs through our show here in a way, and that is, of course, the number was originally written by the great blues singer Bessie Smith in the 1930s. And she usually used piano and orchestral background backup in her recordings, which is what we're going to hear Odetta do, which is kind of was unusual for Odetta in the early part of her career, where she did most of the accompaniment herself on guitar. Then we're going to hear the Chad Mitchell solo version from one of your group's great albums, backed up only by the guitars of Paul Prestipino and Jacob Ander and John Frigo on bass. The interesting thing is the bridge between these two versions was Josh White, who is going to be featured in an upcoming segment. White knew Bessie Smith, and he reinterpreted her kind of jazzy piano-based Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out for guitar, and made it a kind of an urban folk blues number. And that's more what we're going to hear from Chad Mitchell, and we'll hear a lot more about Josh White later.
If I get my hands on a dollar again, I'm gonna hold on to him till that eager grin. Nobody knows you when you're down and out. In my pocket, not one penny, and my friends will I. Back on my feet again.
see my long lost friends. Money's changed without a doubt. Nobody needs you when you're down and
I led the life of a millionaire. Spent all my money, Lord, like I didn't care. Treating my friends out for a mighty good time. Buying that fancy liquor, champagne and wine. Then I began to fall so low. I didn't have no money and no place to go. I ever get my hands on a dollar again, I'm gonna hang on to it till that eagle grins. 'Cause nobody knows you when you're down and out. In your pocket you haven't got a penny. As for your friends, well, ain't too many I ever get back on my feet again. Everybody wants to be my long lost friend. It's mighty strange, without a doubt. Nobody knows you when you're down and out. Then I began to fall so low. I didn't have no money and no place to go. I ever get my hands on a dollar again, I'm gonna hang on to it till that eagle grins. 'Cause nobody knows you when you're down and out. In your pocket you haven't got a penny. As for your friends, well, there ain't too many. If I ever get back on my feet again, everybody wants to be my long lost friend. It's mighty strange, without a doubt. Ain't nobody knows you when you're down.
All right, Chad. Yes, he still sings that really, really well. Yeah, we are still doing concerts 5 or 6 a year, but he always sings that when we're back together again. Part of that Belafonte Returns to Carnegie Hall album included 2 songs by Miriam Makeba. Let me tell you a little bit about Miriam. Miriam, of course, if you know about her, was in exile from South Africa, where she had been living, in where she was born, and she was living in the United States. And Miriam was a pretty political lady, needless to say. Almost everybody that works with Harry Belafonte is a political man or lady, part of being part of his circle of friends. We were singing with Mary McKay, but we went on tour with her, and we sang with her and backed her up on one of her albums. And we did a Carnegie Hall concert once where we were doing a long tour with her, where we would open the show, and then Miriam would come on and do her section of the show, and then we would join her at the end of it. And we did a very successful concert at Carnegie Hall, and I was sitting with Miriam up in her dressing room and after the show, and two diplomats from South Africa came into the room. Tall, very, very white South African Boer men were very complimentary with us and with Miriam, and they said, "Oh, Miss McCabe, we enjoyed your concert so much tonight. We'd love to have you come back to South Africa again." And she looked up very quietly and said, "Why? Do you need another maid?" And they shut up immediately and left us alone, which is what Miriam really wanted the whole time. It wasn't the only thing. It was another time, actually, where she encountered racism here in this country as well. We were doing a concert with her in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and we found out she always had her instrumentalists with her. Bill Lee was one of them in the bass, and we were doing a concert in Cheyenne, and we found out that we couldn't stay overnight in Cheyenne because blacks were not allowed to stay there after midnight. This is in the 1960s, believe it or not. And Jim McGuinn and I, Roger McGuinn of the Byrds later, always stayed in a hotel, in particular hotel down in Colorado, in Denver, a little small motel that we liked. So we booked, we called them and got a room, several rooms for Miriam and her musicians. And we went down to Denver and spent the night there. And we got up in the next morning and we called Miriam's room and found out that she was not there. They had turned her away and all of her people away from that hotel in Denver because she was black. So McGuinn and I went to the manager of the hotel, and we said, "You made a big mistake here. You know, this is a very famous woman. We're going to go to the newspapers and cause you a great deal of embarrassment." And unfortunately, she started crying. She said, "Well, the owners had told her that she had this policy and she couldn't let anybody stay there." So we decided not to cause her that kind of problem. And to be absolutely frank with you, we trashed the room before we left.
But that's Joe Frazier, rock star.
That's the kind of that's the kind of prejudice that she encountered, not only in South Africa, but in this country as well at that time. So this is Mary McCabe singing her wonderful Click song from South Africa, which is the dialect of her people there. And immediately after the Click song, I'm going to play her version of Imbabe. How many versions of Imbabe are there, our expert here?
Jim Moran here, at least 150 recorded versions, at least. Those are just on YouTube. I read there were 400.
Well, this is Mary McCabe's version of it. It's in one of her albums, and it's the Chad Mitchell Trio backing her up on it on Mbembe.
In my native village in Johannesburg, there is a song that we always sing when a young girl gets married. It's called the Click Song by the English because they cannot say Ongotwane. Igqirha lendlela nguqongqothwane. Igqirha lendlela kuthwa nguqongqothwane. Igqirha lendlela haya nguqongqothwane. Igqirha lendlela kuthwa nguqongqothwane. Selekabele kitapo
Ngixolele ngathi andiva kahle nje mfowethu. Indona engathi niyanxila nje. Bathi walala mina sohliwa mathamsa nqa mama.
Frazier, Chad Mitchell Trio, singing there behind Mary McCabe. A couple of months ago, I had a call from South African Television, and they came and interviewed me here in Los Angeles, and I told them a lot of stories about Miriam, because they're doing a documentary on her, which I can't wait to see. She died about 2 years ago now, I believe.
Same year as Odetta, actually. A few months after,
yes,
Odetta.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, that's all right for me. I'd like to turn it over to my friend George Grove from the Kingston Trio to enlighten us about what you brought us this morning.
Hi, this is George Grove from the Kingston Trio, both a former and a current member of the Kingston Trio. And I've chosen as my forgotten hero of the day, Josh White. And before I start on talking about Josh, I'd like to sing just a little bit of a verse here from one of the first songs we'll hear from him. I went down to that St. James Infirmary. I saw some plasma there. I up and asked the doctor man, was the donor dark or fair? The doctor laughed a great big laugh and puffed it right in my face. He said, a molecule is a molecule, son, and the damn thing has no race. Josh White's life is the history of black American music finding a white audience. It's the story of folk music, the American left, and of a man who made and remade himself time and time again, because he always was fighting discrimination, stereotypes, and his own personal demons. As he became one of the world's most beloved and yet almost forgotten entertainers. At various times, Josh was hailed as the king of the blues, the king of the folk singers, the king of the political singers. He was a pioneering black sex symbol, and he was the presidential minstrel to the Roosevelt White House. So before I get too involved in talking about the life of Josh White, let's hear some of the music from Josh White. Here is St. James Infirmary.
Joe's barroom on a corner of the square. They were serving drinks as usual, and the usual crowd was there. Out on my left stood Big Joe for Kennedy, and his eyes were bloodshot red. Turned his face to the people. These were the very words he said. As I was down to St. James Infirmary, I saw my baby there, stretched out on a long white table, so sweet, so cool, so fair. When I die, please bury me in my high top Stetson hat. Put a gold piece on my watch chain, you'll know I died standing pat. She can search this whole wide world over. She'll never find a sweeter man as me.
George Grove here. Josh White was born in Greenville, South Carolina in 1908 and raised back in the era of Jim Crow, that supposedly separate but equal approach to race. Not long after Josh's father was beaten to death, Josh was hired as a lead boy by some of the blind street singers, including Blind Boy Arnold, Blind Joe Taggart, Blind Lemon Jefferson. His job as a lead boy was to play the tambourine, to dance, and to sing a little bit, and then collect the money. And what Blind Boy Arnold was doing with Josh White was renting him out to, I read once, 66 other blind guitar players, and collecting their money and then sending $2 a week to Josh's mother. Josh White Jr. told me that if there were one song that had a huge impact on his dad's life, it would have been the song Strange Fruit, a song he sang in almost every performance. As an 8-year-old boy, Josh had witnessed lynchings in the South, and Strange Fruit told that story. Here's the way the first verse plays itself out. Southern trees bear strange fruit, blood on the leaves and blood on the root, black bodies swinging in the southern breeze, strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. Here's Josh White singing Strange Fruit.
Southern trees bear a strange fruit, blood on the leaves and blood at the root, black body swinging in the southern breeze, strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. Oh, oh, oh. Pastoral scene of the gallant south, of the bulging eyes and the twisted mouth, scent of magnolia, sweet and fresh, and the sudden smell of burning flesh. Here is a fruit for the crows to pluck, for the rains to gather, and for the winds to suck, for the sun to rot, for the trees to drop. Oh, here is a strange and bitter cry.
This is George Grove again. Wow, that is so haunting. And the reality of that song is just further enhanced by the fact that we're playing some of these songs on vinyl record with all of their imperfections and yet all of their warmth. As you can tell from that song, one of Josh's many roles was that of a social activist, but this was a role that he lived rather than a role that he assumed. And songs of such importance as Strange Fruit were sung not only to the black audiences of Josh White's youth, and the white audiences of his adult years, but to the White House audiences of Presidents Franklin Roosevelt and John Kennedy. In 1939, Josh met Bayard Rustin, who introduced him to the teachings of Gandhi. Later on, Rustin also acted as an advisor to Dr. Martin Luther King, and I suspect this was the first connection of one great civil rights activist to the other. In the 1920s, while Josh was leading some of these legendary blind blues singers around the South, Josh's mother was approached to get her permission so that Josh could record because he was still underaged. And she would only give his permission or give her permission for Josh to record if he recorded Christian music and none of that devil's music, which is what she called the blues. So Josh recorded religious songs under the name The Singing Christian. That made his mom happy. But as Josh says himself, he was born to the blues. So when he began recording the blues, he used the pseudonym Pinewood Tom, so his mom wouldn't find out about it. In the 1930s, he was recording the blues in New York. And by 1934, we need to bear this in mind, when Josh White was becoming a best-selling blues artist, Leadbelly was unknown, and Pete Seeger and Woody Guthrie were teenagers. And the folk revival was years away. In 1936, his career almost came to an end because he injured his hand severely, probably by punching through a plate glass window. I say probably because the accounts differ on how this happened, and when I asked Josh White Jr. a couple of days ago, he said, "We never found out how my father injured his hand, but I can almost guarantee you it has something to do with alcohol and women."
I hope so.
The doctors looked at the hand a little while later and saw that three of his fingers had turned gangrenous, and they suggested amputation. Josh refused to do that, though, but because of the severity of the injury, he was unable to play the guitar for 4 years, and only by working with a rubber ball was he able to get his hand back into the shape so that he could play again. And listen to this next song, which is one of my favorites of Josh's, and it's a song in which the guitar is a huge, huge driving force. I can't imagine having that guitar style silenced, never to be an influence to guitar players like myself. And when you listen to this recording, you're going to hear a deep bass voice, a basso profundo, singing along with Josh. And that's Sam Gary. Sam was a lifelong friend of the White family. Josh White Jr. used to call him Uncle Gary. And he was also in the Almanac Singers at one point. And this is a song that would have made Josh's mom very, very proud because it's straight from the Bible. Here's the song, Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho.
That morning, Josh fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Josh fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Josh fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Josh fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Now good morning, brother Pilgrim.
Yes.
Oh, pray tell me, where you bound?
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm traveling through this wilderness, over this enchanted ground. My name it is the Bold Pilgrim,
yes.
To Canaan I am bound.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm traveling through this wilderness, over this enchanted ground. That morning, Josh fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Josh fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Now you may talk about your king of Gideon,
yes.
You may talk about your man of Saul,
uh-huh.
But there's none like the good old Joshua at the battle of Jericho. Up to the walls of Jericho, he marched with his spear in his hand. Go below them, a lamb ram, Joshua cried, called the battle lamb in my hand. Now when the lamb ram sheep horns began to blow, and the trumpets began to sound, oh, Joshua commanded to turn the shout, and the walls came tumbling down. That morning, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Now there's no man like Joshua, there's no man like Saul. Now there's no man like Joshua at the battle of Jericho. I say there's no man like Joshua. There's no man like Saul.
Now there's
no man like Joshua at the battle of Jericho. Now when the lamb ram sheep horns began to blow and the trumpets began to sound, old Joshua commanded the tune to shout, and the walls came tumbling down. That morning, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Up to the walls of Jericho he marched with spear in his hand. Go below them, lamb ram, Joshua cried, called the battle lamb in my hand. Now when the lamb ram sheep horns began to blow and the trumpets began to sound, old Joshua commanded the children to shout, and the walls came tumbling down. He said, shout, children, shout. He said, shout, children, shout. He said, shout, children, shout. And the walls came all tumbling down.
George Grove here. Shortly after Josh's hand revived, he put together a group called Josh White and the Carolinians, which featured Bayard Rustin and Sam Gary. They were at a private party in Harlem, and there was a Broadway director there named Leonard DePoor, who heard Josh singing. Well, Leonard was on a search through America at that time for an actor, singer, guitarist who could play the part of Blind Lemon in a Broadway musical called John Henry. And in listening to recordings, he had narrowed his search down to two singers that he really liked, one called Pinewood Tom and the other one called the Singing Christian. But when he heard Josh White singing in the next room at the party, he said, no, that's the man I want. Little did he know that all three men were the same guy. In the 1940s, Josh had discovered a white New York audience and was appearing with people like Billie Holiday. Pete Seeger was looking up to Josh White, calling him Mr. Folk Music. And he even expanded, Josh White expanded to become a star on Broadway, a star in Hollywood, and he was a sex symbol who appealed to both sides of the color line, very unheard of at that time. In 1940, Eleanor Roosevelt invited Josh to perform for the 75th anniversary of the 13th Amendment of the Constitution, which abolished slavery. And a month later, he performed for President Roosevelt's inauguration in Washington. About this same time, he had a big hit with a song called One Meatball. This was the first million-selling record for a black artist in this country. A quick little story about this. George Harrison of the Beatles, in his biography, said that one of his earliest memories was standing on a stool singing Josh White's One Meatball. Let's listen to One Meatball. Here. By this time, Josh White was no longer a young southern black country boy. He was a mature, self-educated, articulate, outspoken, sophisticated man with a strikingly handsome sexual charisma both on and off stage, which is both part of his charm and part of his problem. He actually became a huge friend of President Roosevelt. Later on, he was over in Hawaii performing with, not performing with Bob Shane, but Bob Shane was actually performing with him, Bob Shane of the Kingston Trio. And Josh taught him how to play the six-string guitar. At the time, Bob was playing the ukulele and the tenor guitar, and Josh said, "Do this," you know, and he actually went out and bought Bob his first six-string guitar. Later on, when both of them were enjoying their success, Bob once said to Josh, "We learned a lot of music from black guys and Hawaiian guys, but none of them are in our audience." And Josh replied to him, "Hey, man, they're not in my audience either." But here's a song that that Josh sang with that beautiful velvety voice and that driving guitar. You know, he uses guitar as a musical metaphor many times. And here's one of his songs, The Midnight Special.
Hey, look, look yonder. What in the world do I see? That midnight special with its light on me. Let the midnight special shine its light on me. Let the midnight special shine its ever-loving light on me. If you ever go to Houston, Al, you better walk right. Oh, you better not stagger, and you better not fight. The sheriff will arrest you. He'll take you down. You bet your bottom dollar that you're jailhouse bound. Then you wake up in the morning, hear the ding dong ring. Go march to the table, see the same old thing. On the table is a knife, fork, and a pan. Say anything about it, you'll have trouble with the man. Let the midnight special shine its light on me. Let the midnight special shine its ever-loving light on me. Dr. Melton, how in the world do I know? He gave me a tablet 3 or 4 days ago. There never was a doctor travel by land that could cool the fever of a condition.
This is George Grove of the Kingston Trio. I wanted to kind of recap about Josh White by saying something or quoting something of Oscar Brand's. He said, "Josh White was the first black man to have a million seller. He was the first black man to be accepted into white society in America. And whereas somebody like Paul Robeson lectured to his white audience on civil rights from the stage, Josh gave them that same message and an expression of racial anger, but only in his songs. And then he would charm the pants off of them when he got off the stage." We are delighted to have had this time with you on KPFK. And this is George Grove from the Kingston Trio signing off and saying thank you to Mary Catherine Alden and all of our friends here.
And Jim Moran from Comparative Video 101 thanking you for listening. I hope you'll tune in again when we reappear here.
And this is Art Podell, just me, artpodell.com, signing off and thanking all of you for listening.
And Joe Frazier from the Chad Mitchell Trio. I look forward also to the next time we gather here. And I want to thank Mary Catherine for having us. Really enjoyed this.
Thanks, guys. You've been listening to Alive and Picking, and you've been listening to it on KPFK Los Angeles. Listener-supported Pacifica Radio for all of Southern California. We'll be back next Saturday morning from 6 to 8, as always. And information about today's program can be found on the website at www.aliveandpicking.com. AliveAndPicking.com, where I will be posting the playlist later this afternoon. This is KPFK Los Angeles.